Good morning. Oh, no, no, no. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's get some spirit. I am not Malcolm Marano. Is that her name? Who was here last week? What was her name?
Dr. Marino.
Dr. Marino. I'm not Dr. Marino. She was awesome. She was spirit-filled, and it was awesome. But I hope that we can get some spirit going. So I'm going to read a couple scriptures, and then I'm going to tell you a story. The first one is Hebrews 13. Hebrews seems to be a thing this morning. 1 through 16. Our acts of service and sacrifice. This is the Common English Bible. Keep loving each other like family. Do not neglect to open your homes to guests, because by doing so, some may have been hosts to angels without knowing it. Remember prisoners as if you were in prison with them. People who are mistreated as if you were in their place. Marriage must be honored in every respect, with no cheating or in the relationship, because God will judge you, the sexually immoral person, that the person commits adultery. Your way of life should be free from love of money, and you should be content with what you have. After all, I will never leave you or abandon you. This is what we can confidently say. The Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can people do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Imitate their faith as you consider the way their lives turned out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's all I'm going to read from that verse. And the next one is Luke 14, 1 through 14, healing on the Sabbath. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal at the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. A man suffering from an abnormal swelling of the body was there. Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, "Does the law allow healing on the Sabbath or not?" But they said nothing. Jesus took a hold of the sick man and cured him, and then let him go. And he said to them, "Suppose your child or ox fell into a ditch on the Sabbath. Wouldn't you immediately pull it out?" But there was no response. When Jesus noticed how the guests sought out the best seats at the table, he told them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. Someone highly regarded than you could have been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give your seat to this other person." Embarrassed, you will take your seat in the least important place. Instead, when you receive an invitation, go sit at the least important place. When your host approaches you, he will say, "Friend, move up here to a better seat." Then you will be honored in the presence and move up to the better seat. Then you will be honored by your fellow guests. Then Jesus said to the person who invited him, "When you host the lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and your sisters and your relatives or the rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return." When you invite them. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the documented, the undocumented, the straight, the gay, the cisgender, gender fluid, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected. So let's continuously offer a sacrifice of praise through him, which is fruit of our lips that will confess his name. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have, because God is pleased with these kinds of sacrifices. These are the word of God, and they can be trusted. So pray with me for just a moment. Lord, as we come to this time, let us open our minds and our hearts to what you have for us. Let us be open to your spirit. Let us be free in your word. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I have a story. I always like to start with a story. When we were doing PB&J, and I can tell you some stories from PB&J, but there was this man, and he would come in, and he had a very large alcohol problem. But he often said some really profound things. Not always the way I would say them, but he said them. And one day, we were serving a meal on Tuesday, and the place was packed. I mean, it was packed. We were setting up tables outside, and we had this box outside that you put the books in for the apartments, you know, that nobody can afford. And but they put them there. And so I went out there, and we looked, and there was a bag in there. And it was alcohol. It was a whiskey. I don't even know what kind it was. And it was new. It had only been drank a little bit. It was just a little bit in there. And I went in and I said, Linda, we hadn't been open very long, so I'm new to all this. I said, how are we going to handle this? And she said, I don't know. What do you want to do? And we talked about it, and we talked about it. My friend Diane, who's gone on to be with Jesus, said, she was the police of the place, and she said, I'll handle it. I said, no. I said, nope. And I said, let me see. And so I thought about it, and I said, okay. I said, can I have your attention, everyone in the place? I had the doors open so everyone could hear me. And everybody got real quiet, like, oh, my God, what is she going to say? Is she going to break out in something in here? Because I had my collar on. I said, it has come to my attention that there is a bottle of whiskey in my booth out here that's for apartments. I'm not going to ask who it is. I'm not going to ask who it belongs to. I'm not going to throw it away right now. But in 5 minutes, I'm going to throw it away. So if you still want it, whoever it belongs to, no questions asked, I don't care who it is. You better go get it. Because in 5 minutes, it's going down the drain. So 5 minutes later, I went out there. It was gone. And I knew who it belonged to. But I didn't want to point that person out. It wasn't my job. My friend Abel. My friend Abel was recently hit by a car. And killed. Abel was an interesting person, and he taught me a lot about accepting things the way they were. Accepting people for who they are doesn't mean you have to put up with everything. And there were a few times I had to say, hands to yourself. Because he was copping a feel on the preacher. Hands to yourself. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Sorry. Yeah. But he would help you if you wanted him to. And he had some wonderful stories. And nobody deserves to be hit and run and die in the road. And I still don't think they've caught who did it. And his body laid in the morgue for a long time. And I think it's somebody... The Catholic church in town got it. But I called several times because I was worried about what's going to happen to Abel because he didn't have anyone. So the moral of that story is we got to meet people at the table where they are. So the highest honor at most banquets is to sit at the head of the table at the right hand of the host. We seat most of us want to sit at, because we want to be important. We want to be the one that gets the glory at the banquet. We go out of our way to outshine others. We go over the top to just be noticed. And we usually don't feel any regret about it because we believe we deserve it. It's called entitlement. That's an entitlement. This is what Jesus observed when him and his guests were gathering at Sabbath. The Sabbath meal when the Pharisees invited him to. And interestingly enough, at the onset of this biblical chapter, Jesus was the one thing they were watching real close. And Jesus was the one thing that they ended up going after. You know, in the first century, an invitation to a banquet was more than an offer to eat. It was a significant social gathering. And there were a lot of economic stuff applied to it, social economic stuff. And to be invited meant you were special. It would be like to think at times the guest is someone with the best spirit in the place. However, Jesus' words in the parable, the special guest is not the person who you think it is. The special guest is the one on the street that he pulls in to heal. The special guest is the one that maybe had the alcohol in the book. And that's hard. And maybe the special guest is somebody you don't like. Somebody who voted different than you. And now that's tough. In case someone higher status arrives, then they can move you over to another place. You can sit over there because this person's more important than you now. But the one thing about the table that Jesus lays for us, the table that Jesus lays for us is a lot bigger than that. The table that Jesus lays for us is bigger and brighter, and the food is abundant. There were nights at PB&J where Lynn would be like, I don't think we got enough food. And I'd go back and there'd be this much in the pot and there'd be 15 people come walking in and I'd be like, I think you're right. And we'd be scrambling and there was always enough. The 5,000, which I'm sure there was a lot more, because that was just probably 5,000 men. They didn't count the women and children and the people of lower economic status. Nobody went hungry. Nobody was turned away because they were gay or from a different country. The table was open and big and bigger and bigger and bigger. There was no end. You know, Jesus spoke a lot of the resurrection before the resurrection. And the Pharisees didn't understand because they were about the Pharisees, because it was all about the look. How do I look? How do you look? Are you doing this on Sabbath? Well, if nobody worked on Sabbath, the police wouldn't be working. The doctors and the nurses wouldn't be working and more people would die. I wouldn't be working. I don't know where you'd be and I don't know where Herman would be. But I'm not going to quit working. There would be no preachers working. There would be no church because you got to put church together. It takes time. It looks like we come up here and it's all easy and flowy and, you know, but it's not. All of us that have planned church know sometimes we plan weeks ahead of time for one service. And, you know, the church is really bad about closing their table. The church is really bad about saying, you don't belong here. Maybe you belong at the other place down the street. You don't believe the same thing I do. Therefore, you need to be somewhere else. Do you think Jesus did that? You know, civil rights leaders didn't turn people away. I have a saying on the back of my car about Martin Luther King, the time is always right to do what is right. So racism is never right. Racism is never right. Let's all say it. Racism is never right. And it's people of color, people of different genders and orientations, people of different countries and religions. It's not right. So racism is not right. Racism is not welcome at the table. Martin Luther King, if I could have this much wisdom in my little finger that man had, if I could write one sermon that was even a drop in the bucket equal to I Had a Dream, I'd be happy. Reverend Barber, oh my gosh, those people can speak. And they speak about not being in a racist society. They speak about a big table. And there's no excuse for racism. And the gospel lesson today is very clear on that. It's very clear that the banquet is open for everyone. The table that Jesus sits for us, the communion table, is open for everyone. Our friend who used to be pastor at our church, Sandy, when her and her now wife got together, they refused him communion at a church. At a gay church. Yeah, the very thing. Yeah, Linda was there. Well, it was because people thought one was still with somebody else. It is rude. Word. But the point of that is that the table is not for us to choose who gets to come to it. If you're having trouble and you're ticked off at Jesus right now, and you say, I'm mad at him, he didn't want me at his table, then you're wrong. That's the very time you should come to the table. It's the very time that Jesus will say, come on, we got to talk this out because I'm still going to be here for you. I still love you. You know, the Civil Rights Act, the stuff going on at the border, the LGBT stuff, LGBTQI, that we shouldn't have to fight this anymore. Amen. But we do. We do, and God calls us. The righteousness that God calls us to is not just, I'm better than you, so I'm not going there. The righteousness that God calls us to is to fight for justice. Amen. To fight for everybody's right at this table. Whether you have a little bit of whiskey in my apartment complex booth. I'm sorry, it's a lot of whiskey. The bottle was big and he took two drinks out of it. Or whether you have, you're high and you're saying some crazy crap. As long as you don't hurt nobody, you can come eat. Your gender fluidity does not keep you from this table. Who you love doesn't keep you from this table. Your health doesn't keep you from this table. You know, I'm trying to think, did we ever keep somebody from the table? I know I told some. There were. And there was one I gave several we gave a to-go box to. But you still got to eat. But you couldn't eat in the state, in the mind you were in. But that's hard. Because I wanted to say, you need to get out. And no ever come back. And we banned a few people. But in 2 weeks, it was like, yeah, what do you need? It's hard. Because we're human. And we want to say, you know, you voted for somebody I didn't vote for, so you can't come to my table.
That's not right either.
I know. It's not. Right now, that for me, especially, that's one thing I personally am having a hard time with. But I have to step back and say, we're at the table. And this is God's table. This is Jesus' table. And everyone's welcome there. Just don't sit next to me. And if you do, let's not talk politics. Or even your religion. Sometimes the table's hard. Don't ever sit at a table on Facebook. Don't ever sit on CNN and read some of those comments. Because I can tell you, there's a baby sitting at the border crying to get somewhere to be safe. And I'm going to stand up for that baby at the border. I'm going to stand up for my friends who are afraid to come out of who they are. But Jesus takes it a little further. Like, that's not hard enough, okay? Jesus says, okay, they're not coming in because people exclude them. So guess what he's asking you to do? Go to the streets. Hit the road. Find those people. Find the people in the alley that are broken. Find the people that are afraid to tell you, I love her. She's my wife. I don't know how I feel about gender. I'm confused. I still love you. You know what? I don't care if you're documented. God documented you when you were born. Jesus calls us to the street. So guess what we got to do? We got to go to the street, folks. Now, how we do that? You think Jesus was scared? Oh, remember, Jesus went out into the woods and he said, God, take this from me if you can. I don't want to die. Remember, he prayed before they came and they got him. And he said, take this cup from me. I don't want this. Can we do it another way? Is there another way we can figure this out? And there wasn't. Jesus died. And he was scared. I'm sure he was up on that cross thinking, what's going to happen? They know not what they do. It's hard. But when you put it in the perspective that Jesus came and did what he did, it makes our job just a little bit easier. Not easier, but it makes me want to go, okay. I will go to Pride and I will sing loud to the guy who's telling me I'm going to hell. I will sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. So loud that nobody can hear him telling them they're going to hell. And I've done it. It was fun, though. Go out into the streets and bring somebody to the table. Even if it's just one person that can feel welcome at your table. Even if it's just one person that doesn't know they're welcome at this table. That's big. One person at a time. You can't get 50 people all at once. Like the big stadium things. I don't see how anyone can really see. But I mean, I don't see how anyone can really see if the people are really feeling the Spirit of God. But in places that are smaller, it's more intimate. You can bring someone and hold their hand. And if they're afraid, say, sit at the table. There's plenty. It doesn't matter. Nobody here is going to ask for your papers. Or your birth certificate. The gospel passage invites us, Jesus invites us into his humility. He invites us to a new way of inviting. We are invited to see the social order in a new perspective. From God's perspective, from the eyes of the Creator. And God created us all. Did God create borders? Did God create some of the doctrine that some of these people are coming up with? Theology is different than God. Theology is man-made. God is God. And we are not. And the sooner we figure that out, the better off we are. My friend Carlene would say, God is God and I am not, and God is greater. So we're invited to humble ourselves and to see ourselves not as the pinnacle of creation, but one of the things working together to build creation. One of the things working together to build a community where everybody is welcome. Everybody. God invites us to the banquet of life. The banquet of love and accepting. So, I'm going to accept.